Now, I'm joined here on the phone by Carolyn Baker. And Carolyn Baker has a very interesting resume here. She is known as a collapse coach. Now, those of you who have been listening to Shift Shapers for a while understand what we mean by collapse. And somebody who is a collapse coach, we felt would be a very interesting kind of person to be talking to. So, Carolyn Baker, thank you for joining us here on Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
And I'm going to tell the listeners a little bit about you. Carolyn Baker, PhD, was a psychotherapist in private practice for 17 years and a professor of psychology and history for 10. She is author of several books, including Navigating the Coming Chaos, a handbook for inner transition, which was published in 2011, and Sacred Demise, Walking the Spiritual Path of Industrial Civilization's Collapse, which was published in 2009. She manages her website, Speaking Truth to Power, at www.carolynbaker.net. And we'll go over these sites again towards the end of the interview, and works closely with Transition Colorado, Boulder County in Colorado. Carolyn publishes the Daily News Digest, which is a collection of independent news stories focusing on unprecedented transitions and options for navigating an uncertain future, which is mailed to subscribers 7 days weekly. She writes a regular column entitled Collapsing Consciously for Mike Rupert's website, www.collapsenet.com, collapsenet.com. She tells stories with an African drum and leads workshops in living resiliently in uncertain times and on relationships in the long emergency. Carolyn has a transition coaching and spiritual direction practice located in Boulder, Colorado, and can be you can also utilize Skype worldwide for people who want help with dealing with the unprecedented challenges of our time. And so also, Carolyn, I see here that you can be contacted at carolyn@carolynbaker.net. And that, I'll spell that out. It's carolyn@carolynbaker.net. And that's actually how I contacted you, Carolyn.
Right.
Was on that email address. And what brought me to contacting you and asking you to interview on the show is just hearing the various interviews that you've done with, in particular with Alex Smith on EcoShock, and adding that element of, look, there's a psychological and spiritual dimension to all this. You know, we always see, when we think about collapse, if you were to Google it, you'd see all kinds of supply houses for getting the dehydrated food and all these YouTube videos of people and what they've done to build their bunkers. But you're providing something here that appeals to the psychological and spiritual, and certainly appeals to what your expertise is. Can you tell me a little bit about how you came to this?
Sure. You mentioned collapsenet.com, which is the website of Mike Rupert. I met Mike in 2000, and I didn't know anything about these issues. About 2002, Mike began to get interested in peak oil. And then I began to research it and read and watch documentaries. Then there was more talk of climate change, and then there was more talk of economic issues and, of course, the financial collapse of 2008.
Yes.
And, you know, you've got Richard Heinberg there in Sonoma County, also one of my mentors and great teachers. And I began to really realize about, I would say, 2007, that what we were looking at is the collapse of industrial civilization. We're not just talking about a recession. We're not just talking about a rough patch. We're talking about the complete demise of all institutions and the real crumbling of society. And I looked at that from my background in terms of psychotherapy and my background in terms of spiritual practice. So from a psycho-spiritual perspective, you know, I look at this and I go, we really need to talk about how we're going to navigate this emotionally and spiritually. So then I wrote Sacred Demise in 2009. Navigating the Coming Chaos in 2011, which takes it to the next level. And now I'm conducting a lot of workshops to teach people about how to be emotionally resilient and prepare emotionally and spiritually for this demise.
Very good, very good. Emotional resilience and psychological resilience, spiritual resilience.
Yes.
And so can you tell me about sacred demise and what does that look like? If somebody was, how does somebody come to that? And I think that's really a likely second question here for this interview is, are you seeing people starting to really come to this? I mean, you're offering this whole array of courses and informational things to listen to, workshops. What are you finding out from, are you seeing a growing number of people beginning to just click here and get that something's happening that isn't just a recession?
Absolutely, I am. We did a workshop, a free event, actually. A colleague and I did a free workshop this weekend, Saturday in Denver, and we had a fairly decent turnout considering the weather that we had over the weekend. But there's a tremendous hunger. People are really, really hungry to make sense of what's going on because they know that something has profoundly changed. They know that things are never going to be the same. Normal as they've known it is over. The new normal is, having to downsize your entire life, probably not have a job, probably not have benefits. I mean, all of those things, and of course, Santa Rosa is one of the foreclosure capitals of California.
Oh, indeed,
I think.
It is. Yes.
And so people are realizing something really profound has shifted, and they want to know how to navigate this, and they want to know more than just about storing food, which is really important, but they want to know these deeper preparations on the emotional level.
Right.
And I'm seeing a lot of people wake up.
Wow, wow, okay. yes. And you have made a, well, how did you, yeah, you actually came to this through doing some work with Mike Rupert. Do you see, and you're involved with transition. That is the,
right,
the,
right.
The next thing I want to ask you about. And, of course, we're in a conversation on the show today with somebody from Transition US at the national level talking about what, the big scope of things. So I want to ask you a big scope question and maybe a little bit more about where you live, spend most of your life, which is out there in Colorado, around Denver. Do you see something being done about awareness and preparation, and has the transition town movement stepped up to the plate, so to speak, and motivated people to start getting ready for and looking at what could be the likely future here?
Well, I can't speak to all of the transition groups all over the country, but I can tell you that we have a rocking and rolling transition group here in Boulder, Colorado. Boulder relocalization, it kind of goes by a number of different names, but it's essentially Transition Colorado is the umbrella organization. One of their focuses right now is food security.
Yes.
And getting people to invest, monetarily invest, because Boulder's a fairly affluent community, getting people to invest in food security and making huge awareness and huge inroads here in terms of genetically modified foods, not having those here,
right.
Really, really emphasizing the eat local, the organic, the local, supporting farmers. Tremendous things happening here around food security.
Do you foresee something that's really gradual as far as some of the uncertainties that we face, like some of the things that are going to become very unpredictable? For example, with our transportation infrastructures, with our power delivery infrastructures, things of that nature, are you seeing something gradual, or could we have sudden disconnects and outages of various kinds?
Well, the way I always answer that question is when people ask me, do you think this is going to happen gradually or very quickly?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Yes, it's going to do both. Something will be quickly.
The reason for that is that both are true.
Yes.
I see things gradually deteriorating in many ways in terms of the financial collapse right now and climate change and in environmental issues and energy issues, peak oil. But, or I should say and, we never know when a natural disaster or something like Fukushima or another Katrina, that sort of thing, or a war could trigger a tipping point that really makes things go very, very quickly.
Right.
So it's a both-and situation, in my opinion.
Mm. And so what about this part where you talk about relationships in the long emergency? Now, when I see the term the long emergency, I've interviewed James Howard Kunstler, the author of a book titled The Long Emergency, in which he describes what it could be like as we start to run out of fossil fuels, which we've already started to do, but as it progresses and really gallops along. So the long emergency is things changing out there. And so can you tell me a little bit about relationships in the long emergency? It looked interesting.
Well, relationships on many levels. There are, you know, when we say relationships in this culture, what usually comes to people's mind are romantic relationships, partnerships, and so forth.
Right.
I do a lot of work with people who call me up and want some coaching because they've awakened, they've been doing the research and really learning about these things and really wanting to prepare. And maybe their spouse, their partner, is not the least bit interested.
Yeah.
And they're just really distraught because they want this person to be on board with them so they can do this together for themselves and for the family. And the other person just says, absolutely no. So there's that issue. I do workshops with people on that issue. And then there's relationships in general, you know. And one of the most basic is, do you know your neighbors? And not
Isn't
only
that a good
do you
one?
Know them, but, you know, are you doing things together in your little place there, your community? Are you having block parties? Are you talking about these things? And one of the very subtle things you can do, even if you're not talking about it, is you can share food with people.
Oh,
I got this extra food. I thought maybe you guys would like to have it. And it kind of establishes a little subtle precedent there that, you know, I'm not going to let you starve, and I would really, really appreciate it if you don't let me starve.
Wow.
You know, it kind of builds that sort of relationship. So all kinds of relationships we need to address as we think about this, and we need to learn good communication skills, nonviolent communication.
Mm.
How do we dialogue with each other? How do we express ourselves? And not only express ourselves, but how do we deeply listen to the other person?
You can avoid a lot.
All of this is what I deal with in terms of relationships in the long emergency.
I see. And that part about communication, that's a very that strikes a bell for me because it seems that there's so much that we can avoid in the way of negative outcomes just by bringing in a compassionate kind of communication to things, especially in times of stress. Neighborhoods go to stress.
Well, this is something we're all going to have to relearn because in this culture, we're so individualistic.
Yes.
We don't have a sense of community. We don't know how to really talk to each other. And so, you know, I talk to people all the time that say, well, I tried to live in this intentional community, but we spent 3 hours a day processing each other's emotional issues because we couldn't get anything done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we're going to really, really need to learn how to deeply listen to each other and clearly, compassionately communicate with each other in order to survive.
And get the differences completed in some kind of a quick and really practical sort of way.
I'm not sure what you're asking.
You were describing people in the conscious community that they had differences with each other and they had issues that it took a lot of processing in order to do it. And it sounds like if we're really busy making sure we all get fed, maybe that area of communication, we need to develop ways of, you know, getting complete and getting to our, you know, getting back to our working together in cooperation mode quickly rather than slowly.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I really encourage people to work on this very consciously and, you know, maybe take some courses or, you know, go be part of a nonviolent communication group so that you really know how to deeply listen, deeply talk to the other person, and avoid a lot of these conflicts that are naturally going to come up as we as we go down this titanic path together.
Yes, and this is wonderful because you're the second person I've interviewed that has brought this up as a matter of importance. The other person was Kate Griffiths, who's a mediator and also a teacher of nonviolent communication. It was this is very good to have this kind of an issue come up. And even on a practical level, there's some of the disaster preparedness manuals say, well, not only do you know your neighbors, but you know if your neighbors know how to shut the gas off
right.
in the event of an emergency, because one person who has their gas running and doesn't know how to shut it off can cause a major conflagration in the whole neighborhood.
Right. And see, that could be the beginning right there, just like have a little block meeting, you know, and four or five neighbors, and now let's make sure we all know how to do this. And then, you know, that can lead to deeper conversation because
yes.
you guys live in earthquake country.
And oh, do we ever.
This is a conversation everybody should be having with their neighbors.
It is, and there's been a warning. You know how the earthquake warnings go, and evidently there's some seismic activity and fault line activity in Colorado as well.
Let me tell you, there's activity everywhere that there's fracking.
There is.
Natural gas fracturing, and we now know for sure with certainty that fracking contributes to earthquakes. So,
oh, why wouldn't it?
You know, this is an increasingly scary scenario where we have lots more fracking activity and then we see earthquakes, you know, happening in a similar area. So we didn't used to have much seismic activity, but we're having more now that we're having so much fracking in Colorado.
And you don't know, with the laws of physics and chaos and things like that, you don't know whether, and really, how are they releasing the gas except that the very term fracturing means that they've found a fracture point in
right.
which they can break that open. And a fracture
right.
point, to me, fracture point by definition means seismic.
Yes, yeah.
You know, so you're playing with forces.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And here we have, out in California, the way that we kind of have it psychologically is we're warned for a long time, and then the warning kind of wears off. You know, it's like sometime
right.
within the next 30 years there will be a 7-point plus. And,
right.
you know, kind of we go along, and then all of a sudden the Bay Bridge collapses.
I was there during the Loma Prieta.
Loma
I
Prieta.
Lived there in 89, so I know.
Yeah, and there's a prediction here in the Santa Rosa area where KBBF is that there's a Rogers Creek fault, and the same thing is within the next 30 years there'll be a 7-plus shaker on that, which is right in Santa Rosa. So,
right.
hey, you know what? It can happen anywhere. And you're right about the preparation. That is a part of the program that we do on a regular basis is go over what do you need to have and what do you need to do to make sure that you're prepared. Yeah, and you have, can you tell me a little bit about your website and the kind of things, when someone goes to your website, what are they going to find?
Well, when you go to my website, you're going to find some articles. I'd like to point out an article that's there right now called Dancing on History's Edge, Why This is an Amazing Time to Be Alive. And it's written by Diane Monroe. That's Diane with two N's.
Mm.
And she lives in Sebastopol.
So, oh, very good.
You can contact Diane at Diane@DianeMonroe.com. That's her website.
Great.
D-I-A-N-N-E. Website, you're going to go there and you're going to see some logos for a workshop that I'm doing in Denver next month called Living Resiliently in Uncertain Times. You're going to see over on the left-hand side a free audio of about 15 minutes
mm-hmm.
where I talk about cultivating emotional resilience in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see some interviews of me, videos with various people. If you go to the video section, you're going to see me telling stories with an African drum.
Oh, very good.
As I do in all of my workshops, and that's a little bit of what you're going to see there. And also, a new course is announced on relationships in the long emergency. That just lets you know what the content of that workshop would be. And anybody who'd like me to come to their community and do one of those, just let me know.
Excellent. And
you'll also see ways to get in touch with me for collapse coaching.
Yes, collapse coaching. Now, that is that entirely a... a psychological approach, or are there practical advice as well?
Oh, very much practical advice. You know, I get people calling me all the time that say, you know, I've lost my job. There's, you know, I've been unemployed for 2 years. I don't know what to do. I've got to reinvent myself somehow. Can you help me do that?
Oh, great.
Or people saying, you know, I've got to move to some other place because where I'm at right now is really unsustainable. Or, as I mentioned before, the issues between couples in terms of preparation.
Yes.
There's some psychological guidance, but there's also a lot of looking at practical issues, you bet.
And there, of which there are many. And, you know, one of the things that has me curious here, because you mentioned the African drumming, and I'm going to assume, but I may be assuming incorrectly, it sounds like you've had some exposure to indigenous cultures of different kinds, in particularly
yes,
African.
Yes, I have. I was fortunate when I lived in Sonoma County to have done some work with Maladoma Somme, who's a shaman from the Dagara tribe of West Africa, and he comes back to Sonoma County from time to time. And also a lot of work with Native American folks and elders. I was deeply connected with the Hopi tribe for a while and used to make journeys out there and from approximately 1989 to 95, something like that. And so I learned a great deal. I was really a student of those cultures, and it really transformed my outlook. And so I really encourage people to become familiar with indigenous wisdom. I think indigenous wisdom is going to really make it possible for us to navigate this as individuals and as communities.
And I understand, and maybe you can clarify this for me, that in the Hopi viewpoint, they see the 2012 the way that the Maya do, which is, but in their perspective, it's a time of cleansing and a time of transformation to another, creating a new world and creating another culture. And I'm wondering, am I totally fuzzy with that, or is there something to that?
Well, there's definitely something to that. I don't know that they would say 2012 is a magic number, but they certainly believe that there's going to be a purification process. That's the big word for them. And, I mean, you know, they probably would say, in terms of the language that we're using, collapse, that things are going to deteriorate, fall apart, institutions are going to crumble, and there will be a huge purification of humanity, of consciousness, which is exactly what the Mayans are saying. And, you know, I think the really important piece there about, you know, because people say to me, oh, you think we're going to have, you know, like the end of the world in 2012. Well, no, I don't think the world is going to end. But I think what's really important is not the blockbuster scenario that we have in the movie 2012 where, you know, we're going to have all this disaster. But rather what's really, I think, significant about this year is the possibility of a shift in consciousness. And I wrote about that in detail in Sacred Demise. And it's already happening, I think. I really sense that we're going through a shift in consciousness right now, and I think that's going to be a process.
Yes, things are definitely shifting. I mean, you see that the little people are rising up, and and countries are starting to collapse. I call it pole reversal, but not the physical kind. I call it the metaphoric kind of pole reversal. The least will become the most, and kind of that spiritual way of looking at it.
Yes, yes.
I agree. And the little child will lead the adults.
Yep, I think so.
And that's actually segues me to another question here too, which is that we have this whole generation of children, and you know we've been talking when people in the environmental movement talk about we need to reduce greenhouse gases so that we can have a world for our grandchildren, and there's a lot of that. And what people who have come to this kind of preparational sort of view of things that we've been talking about is it isn't about the grandchildren. It's about now. It's about this generation being affected by it and the next and the next. So we have these generations of children and young adults, and I'm I have a concern that are we really reaching them to get them prepared for, like you said, with spiritual resilience, with the psychological resilience? What's your take on that? What do you see?
Well, I see a lot of college age and high school kids waking up, more so college age, just for the very simple fact that when they come out of 4 years of college with a degree, they're massively in debt with student loans and they can't get jobs. So I see a real awakening there. But, you know, also there are people who are collapse aware, who are really wanting to do more specific things with children.
Mm-hmm.
And right there in Sonoma County, I have a friend named Melanie Taylor, who has a blog called peakparenting.wordpress.com. peakparenting.wordpress.com. She has a blog, and she's going to be doing a lot more with it very soon. Has a lot of concern about what we do with our kids, how we talk to them about collapse, how we prepare them, how we, you know, really work with them and support them in downsizing and having their values be different from consume, 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 and how we work together as families to prepare. So I want to direct people to Melanie's blog.
Very good.
And I can tell you that I just see a lot of young people who are coming out of college really realizing, or some of them not even wanting to go to college, realizing that they've got to reinvent themselves, they've got to do it a different way, because going to college is not going to cut it for them anymore.
Right.
And so I see a lot of them wanting to go into farming. You know, I see a lot of them wanting to learn different skills and, you know, make things with their hands that they can sell and go into business together. And it's really, really very exciting.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
And so Melanie Taylor, peakparenting.wordpress.com, and that's for the approach toward children. And there's one more thing I'd like to cover with you before we finish, and it has to do with attitude. You know, there's someone named Kathy McMahon, and I intend to have her on on my show at some point here too. She's also a therapist, and
yeah, I know Kathy.
And she talks about something called Panglossian disorder. It's really just kind of a everything's great, everything's fine, and you guys are nuts. And I do hear, you know, I do hear in when I give talks on this subject, whether it be about climate change, peak oil, it really doesn't matter which one of those it is, or I combine two, and people will say, well, you know, that's really doom and gloom. I mean, you know, it's not like that. Look at, I get in my car and go to work. There's nothing happening. And I'm wondering if you can comment on that. If there's is that strictly denial, or is there something that people are doing to protect themselves with it, or is there just not a general amount of information out there for people to use?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of information out here, and you know, we have to remember that denial is a defense mechanism. So people use denial to protect themselves. And it's a process coming out of denial. Some people come out very quickly. Some people it's anguishing. It takes them months. I know exactly what Kathy's talking about. And, you know, I run into this from time to time. I think it's to some extent decreasing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still very much the whole perspective of our mainstream media. Everything's fine. You know, if you turn on CNN or MSNBC, all you're going to see is the political candidates. You're not going to hear about the massacres in Syria. You're not going to hear about peak oil or any of the things that you and I talk about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we live in an infantilized culture of la-la.
Right.
And those people are better consumers. I really worry about. I don't worry, like you and I were talking earlier, I don't worry so much about people in traditional cultures, whether they're in other countries or this one. You know, I have a lot of friends in the Mexican community, and
I
see how cooperative they are.
Right.
And I tell them, you know, it's the gringos I'm worried about. You know, my folks who are just not getting it because they don't have that spirit of cooperation that you guys have. So, you know, I think that's going to count for a whole bunch when things really get very, very intense. But it's the people who are so in denial that I worry about, because they're going to be emotionally shattered.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what my work is about, is helping people prepare so they won't be emotionally shattered.
Right, and I agree with you in that, and there are a lot of, well, this is a bilingual Spanish-English station on KBBF. And
right, I used to listen to it all the time when I lived there.
And it's a great way for an Anglo person like myself to keep this, keep immersed in Spanish, and it's amazing in also being immersed with the Latino culture, to see people from many different countries, not just Mexico, but who are used to having to pick up and migrate, and have a history in their families of migration of various kinds, out of necessity, and that they know it's not the end of the world. It's just a transition to another world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And whereas in the Anglo culture of the United States, it's more like, well, we're here to consume. That's what we're all about. We're a consumer culture, and, you know, we own it. We own the world, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's, that really can crack badly. That's what I'm hearing
really
you say.
It can. And again, resilience. If you cannot be resilient, you know, Charles Darwin said, you know, that the person who's most likely to survive in the whole scheme of things is the person who can adapt to change.
Yes.
And, you know, Anglo-Americans have a really difficult time with that.
Yes.
So those are the folks I'm concerned about.
And I've heard in the course of this conversation just here today with you, when people ask, well, where's the hope? I've been hearing many, many tones there of where you reach that note of hope. And there is hope in this, isn't there?
Well, not only that, there's joy in it. If you go to my website at carolynbaker.net, over on the right side, you'll see a video conversation between myself and Andrew Harvey. Andrew Harvey wrote a book called The Hope, A Guide to Sacred Activism.
Oh, okay.
And on there, we talk about transition and transformation, the joy of preparation. We talk about how this is not doom and gloom. And I am constantly encountering people in my coaching practice who say, man, I've awakened to this, and yeah, it's hard to look at, but I'm doing something, I'm preparing, and I feel so alive. I haven't felt this alive in years. And it's so exciting to see people wake up and come alive. It's
mm-hmm.
a really, really joyous experience.
Well, that is, you know, on that note, I am going to thank you for joining us here on Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. I'm talking
My
to...
My pleasure.
And pleasure having you. I've been talking to Carolyn Baker, PhD. She is has been a professor of history and psychology. Sometime I'd like to, I understand you're going to be in the Sonoma County area near our studio in March.
I am, absolutely, in mid-March. Yeah.
And I would love to have you come by. We could talk a little more about some other things. I mean, you've written some books about history as well.
Yeah, I have.
So we can talk about some more things, but the books are, in fact, the latest one, most recent, is Sacred Demise, Walking the Spiritual Path of Industrial Civilization's Collapse.
Actually, that's not the most recent. The most recent is Navigating the Coming Chaos, a Handbook for Inner Transition. It looks a lot like the Transition Handbook, and that was intentional, because the Transition Handbook is about external preparation, and this is about internal preparation.
Thank you, Carolyn, for correcting me on that. The most recent one is Navigating the Coming Chaos, a Handbook for Inner Transition, published in 2011. And yes, that is terrific. And so I look forward to talking to you again, and thank you again for joining us on Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio.
Well, thanks for inviting me. Looking forward to seeing you in March.